He couldn't stand it. He just wanted to be alone. That's why Thomas wasn't with the others on that first Easter evening. That's why he wasn't there when Jesus stood in their midst. That's why he didn't see the wounds in Jesus' hands and side. And he was too heartbroken to hear, "Gee, we wish you'd been with us." "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of his nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." And ever since that moment, he's been doubting Thomas. But you know, he didn't ask for anything more than what Jesus had already given to the other disciples: to see and to touch Jesus' hands and his side. 20 years ago, a German artist named Günter Demnig installed his first Stolperstein in Berlin. Stolperstein means stumbling block. It's a 4x4 inch brass plaque fastened to a cobblestone for the sidewalk. And Stolpersteine are placed in front of the houses where those who became victims of the Nazi Holocaust last lived. On those Stolpersteine is the name, the birth date, the death date, and the place of death. 60,000 Stolpersteine have been installed to date. A month ago, an Amsterdam couple filed a lawsuit to have the Stolperstein in front of their house removed. They said that being confronted by that stone every day was too much of an emotional burden. They said their privacy was being affected by passersby who stop at the stone and stare at their house. And they say the stone affects the atmosphere on their street. They dropped their lawsuit because of the public outcry against it. Stolpersteine, you see, are an essential antidote for our aversion to what can be horrific in humanity. As Thomas said, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, Jesus appeared to the disciples one more time, and he turned to Thomas, who was there this time, and he said to him, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Or as Bob Dylan sings it, "When the evening shadows and the stars appear, and there is no one there to dry your tears, I could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love. I'd go hungry, I'd go black and blue, I'd go crawling down the avenue, and oh, there's nothing that I wouldn't do to make you feel my love." You know, it's easy to assume that what Thomas was insisting on was evidence of Jesus' resurrection, that the man standing before him really was Jesus. But perhaps, just perhaps, what Thomas was looking for was evidence of the crucifixion. Yes, unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. How tempted are we to sanitize the evidence of crucifixion with serene memorials? In Oklahoma City, 168 chairs stand in the place of the Murrah Federal Building. In New York City, two pools washed with waterfalls replace the Twin Towers. But in Europe, new churches were built beside the ruins of the old after World War II, not in the place of them. Coventry Cathedral in England, the Kaiser Wilhelm Memorial Church in Berlin. Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe. Or as Bob Dylan sings it, how many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must a man have before he can hear people cry? Yes, and how many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? The answer, my friends, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. You see, resurrection conquers crucifixion, but it doesn't erase the scars. Instead, it transforms those scars into beautiful, powerful, and persuasive marks of victorious love. Love that is scarred by sacrifice and suffering. Love that is steadfast and everlasting. So, friends, what scars do you bear? Scars outside and inside. Scars on your bodies and on your hearts. Scars of disease, scars of grief. Scars of violence that's either accidental or purposeful. What crucifixion scars do we need to see to believe the resurrection? What evidence will it take for us to live and to love? She was only 19 months old when a ravaging disease destroyed her eyes and her ears. For 5.5 years, she was locked up inside of that sensory death. Then resurrection arrived in the form of a teacher named Anne Sullivan. Anne patiently made Helen feel an object, then spelled its name with her finger in the palm of Helen's hand. After a month of doing that constantly and persistently, Anne finally broke open the tomb of Helen's isolation. Helen Keller never lost the scars on her ears and her eyes, but she learned to hear and to see in remarkable ways. Helen says, "The only thing worse than being blind is having no sight and no vision." She says, "I can see, and that is why I can be happy in what you call the dark, but which to me is golden. I can see a God-made world, not a man-made world." What crucifixion scars do we need to see to believe the resurrection? What evidence will it take for us to live and to love? One more song, but it's not Bob Dylan. It's written by a woman named Joey Scott and a man named Richard Wold for somebody named Anne Murray. It's called The Other Side. Maybe you know it. The other side of doubt is faith. The other side of pain is strength. The journey may seem endless, and you know the road is rough, but the other side of fear is love. The other side of fear is love. What evidence do you need to get to the other side? From revenge to mercy, from cruelty to compassion, from death to life, from fear to love. Bob Dylan takes us there, to the other side that Jesus offered to Thomas. Dear friends, God's grace turns the scars of death into evidence of resurrection. Yes, the other side of fear is love. What evidence do you need? Amen.